You are listening to weekly messages from Austin Christian Fellowship. For more information about ACF, visit acfellowship.org.
Greetings, Austin Christian Fellowships. How are you guys around the city of Austin? Let me hear from you. It is a great weekend in Austin. Good to see everybody in all of our locations. Thanks for watching. If I don't have the chance to know you, my name is Will Davis Jr., and I'm thrilled to be with you this weekend. If you need a Bible, will you raise your hand at all of our locations? We have people coming down the aisles with Bibles in hand. I met a high school kid earlier, before this service, holding one of our Bibles. Made me really, really happy. He got it from us, so it's kind of cool. So if you need one, just raise your hand. You can keep it or give it back when the service is over. And find John chapter 7 as you get your Bible open. John chapter 7. We're going to be there in just a minute. Several little bits of housekeeping. I'll do them fast. I want to put that number I showed you last week on the screen. It's $660,000. That's actually now closer to $630,000. I wish we had animation. We could scratch it out and lower it. We were able to send out about $20,000 this week in that missions commitment that we made. So that's a yay God. We're going to be doing more of that as you guys give. I want to tell you what this is if you don't know. I'll do this quickly. I'm going to say a lot more about it in a few weeks. Our missions team makes monthly commitments to missionaries, to nonprofits in Austin and around the world, and we always fulfill those monthly commitments. We've never not given missionaries what we promise each month. On top of that, we get a lot of one-time asks for building projects. Let's dig a well, a $5,000 gift for this, $50,000 gift for this, and those are one-time asks that we say, we'll give you the money when we have it. That's what the 660 represents. The promises made in 2016 for 2017 that we just didn't have the money to fulfill, and they're really good opportunities, but they're not the monthly support we do as well. We gave away well over $1 million in 17, which is amazing, and this will take us closer to $3 million, but I just want to keep it in front of you and say, as God leads, let's chip away at it. Speaking of giving, we've arrived, hold your applause, churches, at the 21st century, okay? I want to show you, our team's been working hard on this. We've been told that it's not too easy to give online. And that's been true. It's more complicated than it should have been. So now I'm going to show you a first slide. If you go to our website on your laptop computer, you'll see you go to give and you'll see a quick give button. I did this week. And if I can do it, finish the sentence. Anybody can do it. Okay, it took me about a minute. You have some initial information to set up. Once you do it once, it's easy. It was really easy to give. And if you don't have to sign up as an ACFer, you can just give quickly there if you want to. It's really easy to do. But the really cool thing is we now have text to give, okay? So I want you, parents, if you're watching, I want you to take your phone and hand it to your children, okay? And the kids, like, I want you to give like you've always wanted to right now, okay? You can text 73256, and you get a link back immediately. And I did it yesterday. It takes about a minute just to set it up and give. So take advantage of this. When you, some of you give through the mail. That's what I do. Some of you give in services. We have boxes at every service you can put gifts in. If you want to text to give and or give online, it's now a lot easier to do so. So we hope that'll make it easier for you. Final thing I want to say by way of preliminary is September 22nd and 23rd. I'm going to do a discussion with you guys in the weekend message. And during this season, we've got some things to talk about. I'm doing one message per weekend. If you're curious, you've been one of the ones listening to all three. Kind of got some things we got to say to everybody, so I don't really feel the liberty to do a different message each service. So if you get one, that's everybody's getting the same thing for a while. September 22nd, 23rd, good family discussion in our weekend services across all communities on kind of some really cool things God is doing, some opportunities we have, some needs we have. Why we have a 660 sitting there that we weren't able to finish in 17. I think you'll find it encouraging, hopefully inspiring, and really, really good. We love to say this. We get to do this. And we get to do this, ... together. That's really, if our church had a motto, that'd be it. We get to do this. So, let's do it together, shall we? All right, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the time. I pray for your anointing on me. I thank you for the rain in our city this week and how it's changed the landscape and what that means, what that symbolizes, what it looks like, what it does for us. I pray for the men, women, and children and teenagers in our all of our communities participating right now. I thank you for them. I thank you for each church, each location, each CP, each pastor, each family, each servant, each volunteer, each guest today. And I pray as I read and teach your scriptures for a few minutes here that you will move mightily in our midst. I pray, Lord Jesus, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, for demonstrations of your power in our services. And I pray it in your name. Amen. The series that we begin today is called Niagara. As I throw that out to you, that word Niagara, I imagine an image comes to mind. I visited Niagara Falls with my parents when I was about 18 months old and obviously did not remember it. So a few years ago when I was doing a speaking event in Canada, I drove an hour down and actually took the time on the Canadian side to stop and see Niagara Falls, and it was amazing, just amazing. Never seen it before. They remembered. I hear the term Niagara, and I think of this kind of unharnessable power, unstoppable. It's this constant flow, breathtaking flow, uncontrollable flow. If you get too close to it, almost dangerous flow of power. Niagara, church, is a really good image for what God desires to do in your life through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to give you another image. Think of the drippiest, leakiest, sorriest faucet in your home. Or that toilet that's always running. You just can't, the washers aren't, you just think about that. That is what the typical Christian settles for and often calls the power of God. Drip, drip. Look at the power of God. Drip. Well, look what God did. Drip. And that's not God, it's not God's power. It's sometimes the best we can do, the best we settle for. We pray one little prayer and give up and we go drip. Oh, look at what God did. Niagara is what God does. It's uncontrollable. It's unexplainable. No one gets credit but God. I was in a prayer meeting recently. I gather with some leaders around the city second or third Wednesday morning of each month to pray. And I had just walked in and sat down in the prayer room over in Lake Travis. And I felt like, and this is where I got the inspiration for this series for you this month. I felt like, I wasn't in there 3 minutes. And I felt like the Lord said to me, quit giving me credit for your drips. That's never a good thing to hear in a prayer meeting. I just want you to know that. I am the God of power. I am the God of flow. I'm God of uncontainable force and energy. And when I work, you know it. I don't provide, I overprovide. Your 660 deficit that you have right now, Will, at ACF and giving, that is not my best. Don't call that my work. I'm better. When I give, it's over provision. I learned to scuba dive. I went scuba diving when I was probably 9, 10, or 11 years old on a family trip to Acapulco down in Mexico. And the deal was we paid a guy who's going to take us out in a little boat. We were going to go underwater 25, 30 feet, go into a little cave and come back up, very safe. But to orient us to the sense of diving, they trained us in a pool to get ready. And they hooked me up to my tanks, put the regulator in my mouth, and for some reason the valve on my tank that goes to the regulator was only like in propane tanks, it was barely open. So I'm going like Darth Vader underwater. I'm like, this is not fun. I'm going to die in this pool. And I pop up after doing my little training swim. My dad says, how was that? I said, oh, it was great. And they all started laughing. I was blue and they were like, they opened the valve. Oh. This is how it's supposed to be. I wonder which is you in your Christian life. Just sucking on kingdom air as best you can and just dying to not sin and struggling to be generous and fighting to not lash out at people and just drip, drip, drip. Wow, look at the power of God, drip. Oh, this is wonderful, drip. And our friends and families and neighbors who don't yet know Christ look at us and go, that's what your faith is? Sixth Street's a lot more fun than that. That's the backdrop to John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39, which I'm going to be teaching on probably through all this month. Get used to John 7. Why don't you go ahead and memorize it? Not the whole chapter, unless you want to. Drip, drip. It's not us. It's not who we are. There's more. Everybody say the word more. All communities. Everybody say the word more. That's what God has for you. Wherever you are, there's more. On the last day of the feast, the great day, John 7, 37, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever," mark the verb, "believes in me. As the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers," think Niagara, "of living water." Verse 39, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, had not yet been poured out, Acts chapter 2, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. The setting is an annual Jewish festival called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. It's also the Feast of Ingathering because it happened in the fall when they were celebrating their harvest. The Feast of Tabernacles was when every Jewish family, and I belong to the Jewish Community Center over in Northwest Hills and work out there, and every fall when I go, these little booths pop up all over the property in honor of the Feast of Booths, Feast of Tabernacles. The Jews were commanded for 1 week every year, the same time, during harvest time, to leave their permanent shelters and build little thatch houses for themselves that had enabled sunlight and rain to somewhat come through. They had very little shelter, and they were required to live every year for a week in those houses as a reminder of their heritage. They had come from 40 years of desert wandering, moving from place to place at the whim of God. When he said it's time to move, they moved, and they lived in portable huts for 40 years. And during that 40 years, and the point was they lived in the desert in booths for 40 years. The point was, in that 40 years, they never went hungry and they never went thirsty, because God provided miraculously manna. Imagine some wonderful Jewish women creating manna recipes, manna bread, manna souffles. That's funny, manna bread. Never mind. Quail, he provided quail for them. And he provided water, sometimes from streams and creeks, sometimes from rocks. Miraculously, God provided water in a desert from a rock that Paul says later on that rock was Christ providing for them. So the point was, I'm in the middle of this. The reason they go back in the booths each year was to never forget the provision. Now, some of you need to hear this. Some of you that are worried about your provision, never forget the provision of God. And so they'd gather and have this, and they'd celebrate their harvest every year, and look what God did for us. Don't forget the 40 years. They were real good about teaching their children their heritage. We were slaves. God freed us from slavery. We wandered for 40 years in the desert because of our father's sin. But in that 40 years, God didn't forsake us. Our shoes did not wear out. Our ankles did not swell. We had all the food we needed. We had all the water we needed miraculously in a desert for 40 years. And they were told to remember that. And the last day of the feast, the priest would go with a big pitcher to the pool of Siloam, and there'd be a choir of Levites singing Psalm 113 through 118, singing that psalm, the whole five psalms. He would take a pitcher, and he would pour it out as a sacrifice to God at the altar while all the people sang and celebrated as a remembrance of the water God provided every single day for the nation of Israel. And against that backdrop, on that last day, Jesus says, hey, if you're thirsty, come to me. Well, that's a bit controversial. If you're thirsty, come to me. Now, remember, those of you who were here last week, our communion service and how we talked about eating and drinking and what you ingest, the properties get in you. What does he say here? Come to me and do what? He didn't say come to me and bathe. What did he say? Come to me and, what's the verb? Take me in, drink. Now, curiously, he does not say you'll be satisfied. He says that in other places. He says, come to me and drink, and you'll be, if you drink from this well, John chapter 4, you'll never thirst again. He's talking churches. He's talking about spiritual thirst. Spiritual thirst is that God-given void built into every human being because we are made in the image of God. We have an image born for fellowship with God. Blaise Pascal, the great philosopher, said we have a God-shaped void that only God can fill, and that's what drives you. We go to, I'll talk next week about the wells we go to try to drink from relationships to money to popularity to being successful to being a great athlete and all the things we try to do to fill our souls, and none of them fit that God-shaped void. The thirst we have is God-given. And Jesus says, I'm the cure for the thirst. But in this passage, he does something really unusual. He says, when you drink, rivers will come out of you. It's a prophetic, listen. It's a prophetic promise for the priesthood that every Christian has. That when you drink from me, I will not just satisfy, listen, this is so good, I will not just satisfy you. I will satisfy others through you. I will give life to others through you. The promise of the ministry of God's Holy Spirit through his people to a dry and barren and parched land. Rivers. And as if to be sure that there's no confusion, John adds in the parenthetical, Jesus was talking about his Holy Spirit, whom after he was glorified, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended. After that four-step process, took 50 days, then the Spirit was given. And now, because the Spirit's given, we are river people. We're river people. Amen. Isn't that amazing? We splash wherever we go. You ever been hugged by a wet lab? It's kind of like that. It's better though. Never mind. Get a lab, just come shake and get it all over you. That's their love language. Just got to get all over you. I'm going to spend the next several weeks in this passage with you, so I'm not going to try to cram it all in right now. I want to do some preliminary ground setting and then some inviting this weekend. Just really, really glad the kids are in the room because I want you to think about some things too. The first thing I want you to think, I'm going to ask you to think about two things. the first thing I want you to think about is your satisfaction level. And from what you're drinking. If you're drinking at all. There are some people watching, listening, who are heavy drinkers, but that's not the good kind. There are some people watching, listening right now who are heavy drinkers, and it's of Jesus, and their rivers flow out of them. Jesus had this amazing way of turning everything back to him. And you guys in the room that are younger, I want you to think about all the things that the culture says will make you feel important or special or attractive or strong or successful. Adults deal with it too. And they're all temporary. Some don't make you feel successful. Some give you earthly success. But Jesus says we're on an eternal scale here. When you die, you're not dead. You're going to keep living. And what prepares you for eternity is my spirit. You have to learn to drink of my spirit. So as you walk through this life right now, what's your satisfaction level? What are you drinking from? Do you drink and get thirsty? Do you wake up thirstier the next day because the money or the popularity or the good grades or the athletics or the friends have disappointed you and all you are is thirstier? That's going to happen. When you come to him and drink, before the rivers come, there's this peace, this satisfaction, this, oh, I climbed up. God, this is so cool. I climbed a mountain this summer, big one in Aspen, and on the way up, real steep, treacherous gully we had to go up. Very steep, one of the steepest climbs in all of Colorado. And we hit it about 6 a.m., and the sun had just come up, and we happened to be going due west up this hill. And so from the east, the sun is just killing us. And on the way up this ridge, it was this gully. It was so treacherous, and took us about 45, 50 minutes, almost an hour to get up this one first gully. The sun was bearing down on us. Most of us drank all of our water going up that ridge. And we had a long, it took us 6 hours to summit the mountain. We're all mostly dealing with water issues at about hour two. It was a long day. So on the way down, we were crossing this field, and I heard this blah, 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 blah. And I looked down this, and between the rocks, still above timberline, between the rocks, there was this little bubbling. The snow had melted and was running under the rocks, and it was catching a rock and bubbling up. Well, guess who was the first to stick his face in that hole? It was the coldest, purest, best water I've ever had in my life. I didn't care if it was, it didn't, I was like, I'm in. And I drank that, filled my bottles up with it, didn't even try to purify it, it was the purest water in the world. It was like nothing I'd ever had before. That's what Jesus feels like compared to what you've been drinking. Oh my gosh, I'm so thirsty, and here's this refreshing, pure, untarnished water, and I'm just going to get it. I'm going to get it all over me. And I was so refreshed. I was like, okay, I'm going to live. I'm going to make it. How fulfilled are you with your diet? In case you're curious, I'm going to talk about how to come to him and drink in just a minute. Before I do, I want you to think about the second thing. I want you to think about the implication of multiple levels of impact for you as a Christian, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian here this weekend, you're in one of our communities and you haven't yet embraced Christ, I bet the spiritual thirst thing really connects with you. And Jesus is talking to you and he says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. This is not a festival you have to repeat annually. Come to me and drink and be satisfied the rest of your life. Come to me and drink. If you're a Christ follower, he's also saying in the term rivers that you're going to have multiple avenues of impact. Multiple. There's an image in Ezekiel, the next to last, I believe, chapter of Ezekiel paints a picture, a vision of a temple in Jerusalem with a river that comes out of the temple. The river is the Holy Spirit. And as it's just 100 yards out, it's like 2 feet deep. And then you go 200 yards out and it's 10 feet deep. and you go 300 yards out and it's 20 feet deep, and you go 400 yards out and it's so deep you can't measure it. The further the Spirit moves out from his people, the deeper, not the shallower, the further it gets out from the source, the point is, the more there is. It's the river that gets deeper and deeper, and that's what he does through his people. So I need you to think, church, this is really important, that we think about Niagara and not drips. See, if God's flowing through me, it's going to resemble Niagara. I'm going to have plenty of source, plenty of resource. If it's me, it's going to be drippy and inconsistent, and it's going to have a cap on it, and it's going to be limited, and it's going to be the best I can do. That's not God. Someone who is a heavy drinker of Jesus will have not a stream, not a river, but multiple rivers flowing out of them that impact here, and impact here, and impact here, and impact there. Will be unlimited opportunities. Remember, God never gives you a blessing he intends you to keep. You've been blessed. That's for somebody else. Flow, let it flow, because the more you flow, the more God will give you, the more it'll flow. It's how it works. The more you let God flow through you, the more he's going to give you. You hoard your blessings, that's all you get. But if you really release your blessings, then he'll flow through you. And the promise of Jesus here, and I've really been wrestling with this, is that God wants to have multiple levels of impact through me. The impact I have in my job happens to be being a pastor. Your job is something else, but in your job, you have levels of impact. As a family person, in my relationships, I have levels of impact. As a neighbor, I have levels of impact. In my recreation, I have levels of impact. Wherever the world takes you, whatever your day takes you, there's constant rivers for you to step into and produce life, be a life-giving source for others. Let me try to say something. You guys with me? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready? Everything the world needs today . Solution to terrorism, answers to racism, the solution to poverty and homelessness, answers to abuse, answers to all the cultural confusion that's out there, answers to drug addiction, answers to unwanted pregnancies, answers to health crises and medical crises that we can't solve. The answers to every bit of that have been given. And they're in the people of God. Everything we need for God's kingdom to be manifest, not to fully arrive, it's not going to fully arrive until it comes, but to be manifest, for conquering to come over different diseases, over lawlessness, to cure racism, to solve poverty, it has already been poured out in the God Spirit, and it's in you and it's in me. I got all of God I need. He just needs more of me. God is not withholding part of himself. He has poured out his Spirit. And if I will drink of him, rivers, life-giving rivers that get deeper the further they go, will flow out of me. If I'll sit before him and drink, he's going to give me ideas, wisdom, creativity, thoughts, that are not of the world, that are problem-solving for others on this. I am to live, breathe, think, serve, give for others. I am to be something he flows through that solves problems and helps and encourages and blesses. And that wherever God flows through me, there ought to be rivers of life behind them. You guys with me? That's profound. It's that scene in Exodus when Moses is standing at the Red Sea going, God, Red Sea. And he's like, why are you crying out to me? Go. And I feel like we're standing at the face of problems and at the face of racism and the face of intimidation, in the face of cultural pushback, in the face of disease, going, oh, God, problem. He's like, it's in you, go. I'm in you. Why are you crying out to me? Go, solve it. It's in you. It's a little different look at Christianity than this beat down, persecuted, shy, apologetic group of people who have to hide in a corner because we're intimidated by culture. God has given to the church, God has given to you everything the people around you need. The river is in you. The river is in you. Niagara is in you. ACF, Niagara is in you. ACF, Christian, Niagara is in you. Drip, drip, rebuke the drip. Niagara is in you. Let it go. Release it. Release him. If any man comes to me and drinks from his innermost being, from his gut, will flow rivers of living water. Okay, so I'm almost ready to start talking about how to drink. I got back in Austin from spending, 10, 12 days in Colorado 2 weeks ago. I returned to a front yard. Susie and I live in Long Canyon, not far from here in Four Points. And I got back to a yard that was complete. It was crunchy. Crunchy grass. You might have crunchy grass. Know what that is? Because we don't want our front yards. We don't water our front yard. It's too big and it's wouldn't do any good. And it was dark and I would step out of my truck into the grass and go crunch. It was dead. What does your yard look like now? I've got this. Susie and I were laughing before I came to church this week today. It's like our yard is so happy. It's buoyant. We didn't do a thing. But it's green and it's springing up, and we got these lilies now starting to show their faces and all this flower life. And it's like the thing is alive. It's green. Two weeks. What was the difference? It's not a trick question. What's the difference? Rain. Water. What a concept. In September in Austin, rain. We prayed for Lake Travis years ago to go back up. Guess what? It went up. And so I've got this green plush yard now, and I'm going to have to mow it, and all this great stuff's going on. We're going to, it's so good. The only difference, water. Okay, listen. God is the source, but the agent is you. You're the delivery vessel of God's living water. He's the source. You're not the living water. He's the living water. But the sprinkler, the source that it's going to populate the earth with and replenish people's lives and be refreshing and solve problems and meet needs and change culture and bring healing to people's lives, the agent of that is you. He's the source. Never forget that. He's the source. The agent is you. When you partake of Jesus, rivers come out of you. And it changes everywhere you go. Friends, in short, God's solution to all the crises of the earth is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is in the church. He's in Christians. He doesn't freelance. He works through us. Amen? Okay, all right. How to drink. How to become a heavy drinker. We are very relevant here at Austin Christian Fellowship. How to become a heavy drinker. We'll say this and wrap it up. Two things. I want to talk about figurative, metaphorical drinking. I want to talk about literal drinking. Let's do first the figurative. Kids, young people in the room, I'm talking about the concept of getting my needs met from Jesus. Okay? Let me say it this way. You ready? Look to Jesus and nothing else for your ultimate fulfillment. Look to Jesus and nothing else for what ultimately gives you joy. Look to the Lord Jesus, crucified, buried, resurrected, ascended, to give you peace, to give you hope, to give you strength, to help you to love those people you can't love, to help you to forgive quickly, to help you to overcome earth-shattering grief, to give you strength when you're weak, to be patient, to be kind, to be fruitful, to be generous so we solve problems with the resources, because we can be rivers of financial blessing to others. Remember, generosity is the kindness of God expressed in material form through his people. I'm going to say that again. All generosity is, we're trying to be a generous church, I want to be a generous man. All generosity is the kindness of God expressed in material form through you and me. It's a river. It's a form of river. That's all generosity is. It's kindness in material form for somebody who has a need. Look to Jesus to fulfill you. You will find great joy in relationships with people, and you will find great joy in having a job or a career or study path or a hobby that you love, and that's all that will bring levels of happiness in this earth. But the only thing that will ever fulfill you eternally and permanently and meet the need of your inner soul that God has given you is Jesus shaped, and that's it. So make sure that more than pursuing a guy or a girl or a job or that next level of financial success or that next thing or whatever, but more than pursuing that, it's we, Matthew 6:33, we seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. We seek, say the word first, first. We seek first, first, not when my leftovers. I seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Promise is then I'll have everything I need. So I pray, Matthew 6:33, for Susie and for me and for my kids and for Austin Christian Fellowship, that we'll seek, that we'll daily have a priority on the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if I have that, everything else I'll have. I'll have everything else I'm supposed to have. Seek, the way you drink from Jesus is, number one, you seek fulfillment in him above anything else. God doesn't do competition well. If he's having to compete with work, if he's having to compete with a guy or a girl, if he's having to compete with a career, if he's having to compete with whatever, you're not going to be satisfied. Drip. Drip. It's going to feel like a drip. Drip. Not Niagara. The second way you drink from him is literal. Daily, here's how you daily get in Jesus' presence and ask him to fill you with his spirit. I have to do this more than daily. I have to do this like minute by minute because I leak all day long. I just get irritated or I get confused or I get depressed or I get discouraged or I get tired, and the fullness of the Spirit leaks out of me. So I have to daily pray. I start my day reading the Word and praying pretty much every day. I'll get in the Bible, I'll read, I'll pray, and at some point in there, I'll pray Ephesians 5:18. You should pray Ephesians 5:18 if you don't know the verse. Pray Ephesians 5:18. Holy Spirit, fill me. Because I can't be a river if you're not filling me. And I literally get in the presence of the Lord, sometimes multiple times a day, big deep breath, Lord Jesus, fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your Spirit. And I'll sense, number one, that satisfaction that he brings coming, that contentment, but also then flow. Then I'm able to have a conversation and have it be meaningful. I'm able to lead a meeting and not get shame-filled. I'm able to have a message and be confident in a message. I'm able to go home and be up and energetic for my wife or for when I'm seeing my kids or for neighbors or for whatever. I'm full because rivers are flowing out of me. But I have to get into his presence. Some of you have a serious drinking problem, and the problem is you're not drinking. You're going 90 miles an hour, and your Bible is closed, and your prayer closet is empty, and you're not partaking of the living water, and so you have nothing to give. Drip. Drip. Oh, look what God did. Drip. That's not God. I'm trying so hard not to sin. Drip, that's not God. I really want to forgive you, but I hate you. Drip, that's not God. You're not drinking. Kids, adults, let's just call it 5 minutes. The most important 5 minutes you spend in your day, I hope it's more than five, but it's five is all you have. The most important 5 minutes you spend in your day, I mean right up there with hygiene, is the time you spend with Jesus. Period. Because there's something he wants to do, not just in you. He wants to flow. You are the solution to somebody's problems. He is going to be the answer to somebody's prayers through you. You're going to put a hand on somebody and pray for them. You're going to encourage them. You're going to meet a need. You're going to tell them about Christ. You're going to be a friend, a safe friend for them. And God's going to bless them through you. And a river of living water is going to bring life to somewhere through you. You cannot do that if you're not sitting with him. If any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And from his, it won't be hard, it won't be surface, from his innermost being will flow rivers. God, give us rivers. Niagara. Thirsty?